So the reading is from John chapter 21, which is on page 1090. Afterwards, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, also known as Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. "I'm going out to fish," Simon Peter told them, and they said, "We'll go with you." So they went out, got into a boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat and you'll find some." When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 meters. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you have just caught." So Simon Peter climbed back into the boat and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153. But even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. Very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me." Peter turned and saw that the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. This was the one who had leaned back against Jesus at the supper and had said, "Lord, who is going to betray you?" When Peter saw him, he asked, "Lord, what about him?" Jesus answered, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me." Because of this, the rumor spread among the believers that this disciple would not die. But Jesus did not say that he would not die. He only said, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you?" This is the disciple who testifies to these things and who wrote them down. We know that his testimony is true. Jesus did many other things as well. If ever one of them was written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have room for the books that would be written. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for your ever-present and everlasting love. As we come before you today, pour out more of that love, we pray. Transform us. Amen. Sam just wanted me to say a few words about myself. I'm John. Until a few months ago, along with Jill, my wife, we ran a Christian charity called the Christian Healing Mission, trying to encourage people to encounter the Jesus that I still believe heals today. But we retired at Christmas, and since then, most of our energies have been taken up being grandparents, the latest of which arrived on Friday. So it's pretty good, I can tell you. It really is. I probably won't have a show of hands on this, but I wonder, have you ever really mucked it up? Are there occasions in your life where you've got it wrong, where you blew it, and you just know you made an absolute mess up of things? I was going to sort of perhaps share a few of my own, but I haven't got that long, so I better not really. But as we look back over those moments, and sometimes they make us cringe just to think about it, I suppose the question is, how do we find peace after that? How do we move on from those moments? And that really is at the heart of that reading today. It's the account of the meeting of Jesus and Peter after Peter had really blown it, and he knew it. I went back really to that first Maundy Thursday, the Last Supper. And if you can piece together the events of that supper from the four Gospels, it was going to be a very special meal where Jesus would share his heart with his closest friends. And during that time, Jesus reveals some quite shocking things. First, he says, "One of you, my closest friends, will betray me." And then he says, "All of you, actually, will run away." And Peter makes a very defiant statement. Basically, well, if they run away, that's up to them. I won't. In fact, I'll die for you. And surprise, surprise, Jesus was absolutely right. One of them did betray him, and the rest, including Peter, all ran away. And Peter had been told by Jesus, actually, that very night, he would deny knowing Jesus 3 times. And he did. And in Luke's telling of the story, there's a very painful moment when, after the third time that Peter denies Jesus, it says, the Lord turns and looks at Peter. And Peter went outside and wept bitterly. He knew he had failed his friend, and he'd failed God. And then we read the events of what we were celebrating last week, Easter. And the news ripples round. Jesus is alive. Peter himself saw the empty tomb. And I guess Peter had two quite conflicting thoughts. The first is, yes, he's alive. My friend is alive. The second was, I wonder what he'll say to me when we meet. Because I guess that sense of failure really did grip him. What was this risen Jesus going to say to Peter when they met. And this is the, today's reading is the account of that meeting where Jesus restores Peter. I want to just share three, I think, very beautiful things from this story. The first is this: it is a story of restoration. Because that is what God does. He restores. He doesn't reject. We're probably all familiar with this term that sort of goes around today, cancel culture. And a definition I read was this, that cancel culture is a phenomenon in which those who are deemed to have acted or spoken in an unacceptable manner are ostracized, boycotted, or shunned. Well, that could not be further from the heart of God. Think back to the Old Testament, the amazing story of Jonah. And it's an incredible story because God speaks to Jonah and says, I want you to go to that city and tell them all about me. Get them to turn from their sin. And you imagine being told that. It's quite something. And Jonah says, no. And he gets in a boat and he sails off in the other direction. So what does God do? Does God get out his list of potential prophets? Jonah, will cross him off. Who's the next in the list? No. It was a very short list. It only had one name on it, and that was Jonah. Jonah was going to deliver God's message. Jonah might have said no. He might have got on a boat and gone to the other side, but God still wanted Jonah to do it. That's where we have that whole episode of a ship and a storm and a whale that regurgitates Jonah and all of that. It was because Jonah was God's choice. Jonah was going to do what God wanted to do. He could do it willingly, or he could do it the hard way. He was still going to do it. And we find in the end, this Jonah was restored and fulfilled his calling. So it is with Peter, actually. This is not a story about rejection. It's not a story about a great disciple that blew it, or therefore thrown out, and let's replace him with somebody else. Who else can take Peter's place? No. God chose Peter. Peter was going to be up there. Peter was going to be doing what God wanted. There was going to be an easy way and a hard way. Peter chose the hard way, but he was still going to be used by God. And actually, this isn't just a story about a second chance. It's not that God gives us second chances. You get third chances, fourth chances, fifth chances. In fact, you get hundreds of them. You know, when they said to Jesus, how many times do you forgive people? Jesus says, well, try 70 times 7. And probably a few more after that. That's the standard God wants for us. That must be the standard that God lives by. Constantly recalling, constantly giving new chances, constantly bringing us back to the purposes he has for us. And so that's this first wonderful thing. Whoever you are, however you feel you might have failed, you still matter. You're still on his list. He still has amazing dreams for you. He still has things, actually, that only you can do. And he still wants you to do them. Second thing from this story. No matter what we've done, Jesus never goes away. I love the instruction they were given in one of the Gospels. Go to Galilee and he'll meet you there. Where in Galilee? At what time were we meant to be somewhere in Galilee so we could meet him? It didn't seem to matter. Because he knew exactly where they were going to be at any time. And he'd find them there. You know, I have this feeling he was probably following them around for days and days and days. He knew exactly where they were. And he found them. And they were touched by him. And that's so incredibly true for all of us. We don't have to go anywhere to find him. He is with you always. And he never leaves you. And he never quits. And he never goes away. In a few weeks, we're going to be celebrating the amazing festival of the Ascension. And the Ascension's not about Jesus levitating through the clouds to some distant place 100 miles away up in the sky. The Ascension is all about Jesus beginning to inhabit a whole new dimension. So he is present everywhere, all the time, with every single one of us. That's where he is now, here, with you, whoever you are, whatever you've done, he's still here. Final thing is this restoration. It's all about love, and it's not about groveling. You know, I think if I were Jesus, I would love to have made Peter grovel a bit. Quite a lot. Are you really sorry? Do you really know how much you hurt me? Can I be really convinced you're not going to do this again? You know, a real public repentance would have been quite fun. But it's not what we read. That's not what happens. When Jesus speaks to Peter, it's so beautiful. He speaks to him so personally and so tenderly. What is it, Peter, you really feel about me? I've got a job, Peter, I really want you to do. Do you want to come back? And at the end, the words of Jesus are so beautiful. It's, Peter, follow me. It's along the lines of, I think, you know, I'm happy to have you as one of my own. I'm not ashamed to have you following me. That there's a place for you. And somewhere along the line, I think something inside Peter had to say, yeah. I did blow it, but I'm back. I'm following him. This is the Jesus that we worship. He's amazing. You know, one of my favorite descriptions about the person of Jesus, we find in actually Matthew chapter 12. And Matthew has just spoken about Jesus healing the sick. Very beautiful thing. And then he reminds his readers of some words from Isaiah, where Isaiah describes that the coming Messiah that we know is Jesus. And he uses these words from Isaiah. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smouldering wick he will not snuff out. I guess that when Peter first saw Jesus, he felt very much like a bruised reed or a smouldering wick. He felt very near to breaking point, not knowing what was going to happen in this encounter with Jesus. But true to his character, Peter is, as we've seen, lovingly restored and lifted up from that pit in which he was dwelling. It's not that Jesus was soft on Peter at all. I think he saw right into him. He saw just what a bruised reed he was. And he did not need breaking anymore. So what about us? If you have any sense that there is any kind of distance between you and God, if you feel you've wandered away, if you feel you actually turn around and walk completely the opposite direction because of something you've done, if you just sense that you've blown it, if you feel like a bruised reed or a smouldering wick, you know what? He wants you back. He's missed you. And he wants you to know just how desperately loved you are. He wants you to come back to follow him, to pick up that journey where you may have left it behind. And he's not going to clobber you or make you feel rotten. He just wants you back. Shall we pray? Father, Abba, Father, here we are, your children. Your beloved, precious sons and daughters, in whom you delight. Father, you know that sometimes we're like right there on your lap, and sometimes you know that we clamber off and run after other things. And you know where each one of us is right now. And for each of us, you gave Jesus. And Jesus, you came to seek, to search out, to bring us back to the heart of Father God. And right now, Jesus, you're here with us. Let's just catch that. You might sense him just sitting by you, just being around you. And just in the quiet, talk to him. If you feel something you want to say to him, say it. If you feel you want to come back to him, say it. And Holy Spirit, you dwell within us. Open our hearts to receive even more of the Father's incredible love for us. Amen.